Matthew chapter 15, and we're talking about tonight the real McCoy. The real McCoy. Have you ever got a knockoff brand of something and then later regretted it? I mean, it has to be Kraft mayonnaise, right? The Black & Decker brand cordless drill just ain't gonna cut it. That was actually a pun. No one got it. You're not gonna cut anything with a drill. No, we want the DeWalt. Or if we're really wealthy, we might even go with the Milwaukee. Because the Black & Decker just, no. We want the real thing. Kind of like when you're at the restaurant and you ask for sweet tea and they bring you unsweet tea. It just gives you a surprise that you didn't want. You wanted the real thing, right? Nobody wants a substitute. They want the original. And here in Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read the first 9 verses. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, your word is quick, powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, your word is also a mirror. And so, Father, I pray that tonight you would help us to see what we need to see in ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would help us to make change where we should. Father, give us faith to trust you and to obey you. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words and help me to relay your message to your people. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit tonight. We thank you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There was a couple that Jeanette and I know, good friends of ours. We were visiting with them over in West Florida. And the man was telling us of some experiences that they've had with some of their church members. They had recently started going to a Mennonite church. And how many of you ever been at a Mennonite church, or maybe have even gone up to Pennsylvania maybe and seen some of the Mennonites or the Quakers doing some of the things they do? It's interesting, really, how they do things, but over here in West Florida, we were visiting with them, and he was telling us of some of the experiences. And one of the things that he said was, if you ever ask one of the church members here at our church if they're a Christian, their response is going to be, "Ask my neighbor." Think about that for just a second. Here in Matthew, where we just read about the Pharisees and the scribes, they came to Jesus for a purpose, and it certainly wasn't to learn anything. It was to try to trip up Jesus in His words. They knew that He had allowed His disciples to break the traditional law and thought they had good reason to get on to Him for it, to judge Him. When we look at that, we have a little bit of heat that comes up in us about these Pharisees and the scribes and how they treated Jesus. And their wicked heart to literally think that He had done wrong. But we have to be careful here, because it's human nature to develop a list of rules that if we follow these rules, we're going to be right with God. That's really what the Pharisees were doing. They had actually taken the commandments that God had given and tweaked them. They added to them. You would be surprised to know how long that list really was. Brother Tommy has hit on it some. He has studied some of that out, and I've looked at it a little bit, not to the depth that he has. But some of the things that they said, women couldn't even look in the mirror on the Sabbath day. Because if they did, they would be tempted to fix their hair or to put on makeup or to do something. And they weren't supposed to do that on the Sabbath day. You were only allowed to walk, I think it was a quarter mile, is that what it was? About a quarter of a mile. On the Sabbath day, if you walked over a quarter of a mile, you were exerting too much effort or energy, and then you had broken the law. And that list goes on and on and on. I had a friend one time. He was going through a difficult time, and he asked me, he said, "Brother Bruce, I just need somebody to tell me what to do. I mean, I'll be glad to do it. I'm obviously doing the wrong things. I need some help and direction." He wanted me to tell him what to do so that he could have a closer walk with the Lord. And he wanted me to spell it out. And I began telling him a few things that I felt that he ought to do to draw closer to Jesus, and he said, hold on, can you send those things to me in a text message? We were on the phone. I said, no, because you'll do it, but not from the heart. It ain't a list. Keeping a list doesn't keep us close to Jesus. The Pharisees did that, and many of them went to hell.
That's right.
They didn't even want to walk with Jesus when He was here. So it's apparently something other than keeping a list. We're talking about the real McCoy here, the original, the real thing. The Pharisees and the scribes, they thought that they were the real thing. In fact, they felt like that they were at the top spiritually, and that if you needed to learn something, you came to them.
Right.
But Jesus pointed out quickly, you're just a hypocrite. You think you know God, but you don't. So I told this fella, I said, well, I'll tell you what, just do this. Eat, breathe and sleep Jesus. Don't worry about that list. Don't worry about those 12 things, those 10 things, those 15 things. Make your relationship with Jesus fervent, on fire. Not cold, not just a few minutes here or there throughout the week, maybe just a trip to church once during the week. Make your relationship with Jesus real.
Good.
True Christianity is more than just following a list. But we can go to the extreme even in that area.
Yes, sir.
There is a list. In the biblical terms, Jesus' words are commandments. He does give commandments.
That's right.
And we ought to follow those commandments. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 42 says, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What's he saying? He's saying, look guys, you tithe. You obey the law. You do all these things. And you're saying, but you're not loving God. You're not giving your heart to Him. All you're doing is checking off these boxes. Well, I read my Bible. I prayed. I did a kind work for somebody today. I said thank you to somebody today. I was kind to that person in the store, even though they were rude to me. But we're not having a surrendered heart to Jesus. Jesus said to these Pharisees and these hypocrites, He said, keep doing these things because they're important. But you need to work on something that's even more important, and that's your heart.
That's good.
Your heart ain't right. Your heart is wicked. Your heart is unsurrendered. There's your problem. Following God's list because you love God and want to please Him is righteousness and obedience. If you would turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus told the Pharisees that they pass over judgment and the love of God. What is love? What is love? How can we prove that we love God? Here in John chapter 14, did I say 14 or 15?
14.
John chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right?
Right.
So how can we know that we're really loving God? Keeping His commandments.
Yes.
How can we know what His commandments are if we're not reading His Word?
Right.
And going beyond reading His Word and actually studying His Word. I don't know if you remember or not, but not long ago we were talking about this thing of studying the Bible. And I gave you the analogy of the Chilton's manual. Remember that?
Yeah.
When we're having a problem with our car and we whip out the Chilton's manual, we don't begin in chapter 1 and read a page and a half, stop, and then tomorrow morning get up and read another page and a half, stop, and then get up the next morning and read a page. No! What we do is we go there to the table of contents or somewhere and figure out, okay, where do they talk about brakes? That's where my problem is. I need to find out how to fix my brake. So I find that chapter. I go to that chapter and I read that chapter intently, trying to figure out what to do with my brakes. Finally, I get to that area, that point, that paragraph, and that thing in that picture looks just like my brakes. Looks just like my problem. So I'm going to read that. And then it's going to just click. Oh, that's how you do it. So then I go out there and I carry that Chilton's manual with me. And then I get out there and I lay it down right next to that wheel that I have pulled off, and I've got the brakes exposed. And I look at that picture, and then I look at my brakes, and then I look at that picture, I look at my brakes, and I read that paragraph again, and finally it just comes to me after looking at it 14 different times, and then I know what to do. I didn't just read the first chapter. That's what we do with our Bible reading, though. We read through it like it's some magic potion that if we read it, it's going to solve all of our problems. It's good to do that, but it's better to find out what God wants to give us. It's important, I believe, that before we even start reading, we pray and we say, God, I'm going to face some battles today. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what to do about them when they happen. I need your help. So when I read my Bible and I study it, please open my eyes.
Yes.
Reveal to me what you want me to see. Help me to understand it. Help me to make accurate application of it. So that when I face that battle, I'll be prepared. And I can be victorious over it. Then when you read your Bible, I believe God's going to show you something. And it's most likely going to be pinpointed to what you may need. And it may not be today. It may be something that you're going to face tomorrow,
right,
maybe next week. But you'll be able to recall it because you read it, you studied it, you understood it, and you made some application of it to yourself. We don't want to be the hypocrite.
No.
We don't want to be that Pharisee. Brother Tommy mentioned this morning in Sunday school, more often than not, we look down on the Pharisees and on the scribes for how they acted, the things they did, and the things they said. But the truth is, most of the time, that's really who we are. We are that person. They were fakers. They were imposters. They were hypocrites. They weren't the real thing. If we're going to be the real thing, we're going to have to love God like Jesus told them. You've passed over this. You've passed over judgment, which is justice, righteousness. You've passed over that. All you're doing is checking off boxes. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Work on having a fervent relationship with Jesus. We can say that we are a Christian, but our actions might prove different. But when your words and your actions throw conflicting signals, your actions normally tell the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
God can see through the smoke screen, and believe it or not, so can the people that live in your circle.
That's right.
If you're not regularly communing with Jesus in your closet, it's not likely that you're shining His light in the workplace. There's no need to try to shine the light in the workplace if we're not going to spend the time with Him in our private time. It's just not going to happen. Remember the Mennonites? If someone came to you and said, "Are you a Christian? Are you brave enough to respond like they do? Ask my neighbor." Your neighbor is not just that person who lives next door, which that could be bad enough. Your neighbor is anybody you ever come in contact with. Could be your family member.
Yeah.
Could be that person you work with. Could be that person at the restaurant that you barked at because they brought the wrong thing. Are you a Christian? Ask my neighbor. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for shining the light in my heart. Lord, I pray that You would help us not to be fake. Help us, Father, not to try to just keep a list, but to obey You because we love You, that we want to commune with You. Lord, I pray that You would help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Turn to 377.